this body for extending an invitation for me to come over and worship with you and study God's word. We are bringing you greetings, of course, from Fifth Avenue Church of Christ. But we wanted to say that we are extremely thankful for those who welcomed us today. Thankful because the way you welcome me and my family over, it's always good. It's always good to come to a place where you have not attended before. And then when you come over and you are preaching, there are a lot of things that you're trying to get your bearings about. You're trying to make sure and figure out on the roster. You're trying to make sure when you're standing on the roster and make sure you don't fall off the roster. And as you can see, and when you've been blessed with some size and shoe size, there are some things that you have to navigate. And so I am thankful for all of those things, because one thing I did not have to worry about is the way that you welcome me and my family today. And so we've had an awesome time. And so we're going to share a few thoughts with you tonight. We won't hold you long. Meet me in the 84th division of Psalms. Meet me in the 84th division of Psalms. I believe God has a word for us there. God has a word for us there. If you have it, let us say amen. We're going to read it in its entirety. I know it's 12 verses, but we're going to read it in its entirety, starting at verse number 1. And the Bible says, "How admirable are the tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in the house. They shall be still praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them, who passeth through the valley of Baca. Make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon thy face of thine anointed. For a day in the courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will be withheld from them that walketh uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." If we had to have a launching verse for our topic tonight, it would be when verse number 6, it says, "Who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well, that the rain also filleth the pools." Understand that the word Baca means weeping. In this old thing that we call life, we come into the world weeping. As a baby, the way they know that you are, give you a little swat, get you to start crying and weeping. We leave this world many times, we deal with weeping. Life itself is filled with trials and tribulations. Many times people try to tell you that there's a negative connotation with the word valley. valley is deemed as a dark, dreadful, dead place. The valley is dreamed as a place where nothing grows. The valley is a it is explained as a place where things go to die. And I believe once again that there'll be light. That there is a valley. So they give you so much connotation with telling you how bad the valley is. Tonight I want to explain to you a couple simple things about the valley. I want to highlight that there are some facts about the valley. In verse number 6, the Bible says, blessed are they, it says, who passing through the valley. Many times what happened with us as children of God, we get caught going through the valley, and we believe that the valley is a permanent place. We believe that the valley is a place that we are taught that we have to stay there. But the Bible tells us that the valley is a place that I'm passing through. That means that the valley is a temporal place. It is not designed for you to pitch your tent there and stay there forever. Trials and tribulations come for a little while. I believe the psalmist said it best when it says that weeping may endure for a night, but there's some joy that's going to come in the morning. That lets me know right there that there's a time that I've got to go through the valley. Every last one of us going to have times when we have to go through the valley. But the Bible says go through the valley. Why do we feel that we have to sit there and pitch a tent? No, go through the valley. That's why the psalmist says weeping is going to happen. You're going to endure for a night. But joy, I don't know when the morning comes, but I do know that the Bible says, but joy. One old day the joy is going to come back. But joy. I'm reminded of a story of a lady who had gone through some trials and tribulations. She had dealt with some death in her family and had left her to a period where her soul was dry. She had so much pain, she just didn't have it in her anymore to praise God. And lo and behold, as she started thinking about things, she started just kind of staying there, getting up day after day. Life has a way sometimes that don't make us want to get up out of bed, but she persisted to stay there talking and praying and reading God's word. And sooner or later what she realized, although I've gone through some painful experiences, although I've gone through the valley and my soul has been dry, she realized and she started taking the notice that her spirit started pumping. You ever seen the old coffee pot? Not these new modern coffee pots. We know we got all these different things, but the old coffee pot, when you used to have to put the water in and the coffee grinds and then you plug it in, and it had that little glass thing on the top. And as soon as that coffee pot started getting hot, you started seeing the coffee start to percolate up. That's what it's about when you go through the valley. When you go through the valley, joy is going to come in the morning. Yes, it's tough, but just like that old coffee pot, you got to understand that God is giving me something on the inside to make it. I just got to plug myself into the power source. And when I do, I start to look at myself and that spirit starts to percolate. It is temporal. It does not matter whether you're a Christian or not. You walk through the valley. Go through it. There's no way around it, only through it. You've got to go through it. Stop fighting God. God, I've got to go through it. The second thing is understanding that the other fact is it can be a blessing. Verse 6, it says that. Make it a well. What it's telling you is that you understand when your tears become tears of joy. And all of a sudden what used to be a valley is now a well. And when it's a well, that means it's filled with water. And when you start thinking about water, water brings life. Water brings cleansing. Water brings hope. And so as you start thinking about, I'm going through this valley, but my joy starts to make this valley a well. A place that used to be a situation where you thought it was death and that was it. But water brings life. Maybe what we need in church is more members that understand that I need to make my valley a well. You ever heard the illustration about the carrot, the egg, and the coffee bean? That is an illustration that a mother was talking to a daughter, and a daughter was trying to understand the facets of life. And mom said, listen, she took her into the kitchen, took out three pots and put them on the stove filled with water. She took out a carrot. A carrot, as you know, it comes out hard. Went into the hot water. After time, that carrot became soft. Then she took out an egg. Egg with its tough, hard shell, but on the inside, you know, an egg before it's cooked is all just liquid and raw. But it went into the hot water. The hot water made the inside hard. But the coffee bean, when it went into the water, the coffee bean made coffee. When you start thinking about us as children of God, if we start being more like coffee beans, we are designed to change our circumstances. We are designed, built to change our circumstances. We're not like the world. We don't let our circumstances just get us all frazzled. We don't let our circumstances tear us down. We understand that I've got some help, and I am a coffee bean. And if you're a coffee bean, what happens is you change your circumstances. People always wonder why. Why in the world are you still happy? Why in the world you still got joy? You done lost your job. Your family done left you. People talking about it, but you come in here every Sunday and you're just styling and profiling. You come in here praising God. Why? Because I'm a coffee bean, knowing that. Listen, you got to travel through. Moses traveled through the valley of tears. Did he not go into the wilderness? But he made the valley a well, and he rebuilt this relationship with God. Abraham traveled the valley of tears. Did he not? He went to the mountaintop to sacrifice his only son. Had faith enough to trust God, but God had a ram for him. Job traveled the valley of tears. Did he not? Satan was allowed to strip him of every single thing that he had. Took his children, his family, his wealth. Took him from everything, but Job trusted God. Remember, I told you this morning, you got to be careful who you listen to. If Job would have listened to some people that told him that you need to curse God and die, you better be careful who you. David, we understand, traveled the valley of tears and failed many times. But David understand, if I just make it right with my relationship, David is considered to be a man after God's own heart. Why? Because David knew that although I go through the valley, God is walking with me. You want to understand what you can find when you're in the valley? What you find in the valley is you find strength in the valley. I came by to tell you, although you're going through the valley, when you go through the valley, understand that I have no problem going through the valley as long as Jesus is going through it with me. Because when I'm walking through the valley, Jesus is my strength. I may get into the valley beat up, worn out. I may be sore on each side, but if I can get in the valley and know that Jesus is walking with me, I get strength. It's something about coming in here to this place. This place, the tabernacle, is something about coming here and understanding that here is where I find my strength. You ever think about how the church set up its design? Churches are set up where you've got pews on each side. And when you think about having pews on each side, many times we have people that are struggling and dealing with things. We ask them to come down. They come down the middle. Keep it in your mind when you're thinking about a valley. A valley is in the middle, and on the sides you've got mountains. When we are children of God, we don't have any problem worshiping God and giving God praise when everything is great. I've got no problem with that when I've got money in my pocket and everybody like me. I got no problem with that. It's those moments when things are not going well. But when you start thinking about this place, this tabernacle, and the Bible says that I long to be here. I long to get here. When I come here, I need to find here. In this place, I need to find strength. Because in here, this is where we find the Lord. It is in here, God's house, where we find the Lord. I know in the world is designed to beat you down. But when you make it here, it doesn't matter how you get here, crawling, beat up, dirty. It don't matter how you get here, but when you get here, you should know that I can find strength here. The Bible says in this text, I found strength here. And not only do you find strength here because Jesus is here, but there should be a presence of the Lord here. See, this place here is special because it is designed to bring us healing. My valley experiences has taught me that if I keep moving, that's what the Bible says, if I keep moving and coming here, the closer I get to here, the stronger I become. The closer I get to God's house, the stronger I become. I had a rough night last night. Dealt with so many trials and tribulations. I dealt with so much. I went to sleep last night asking that God just give me one more day. God bless me to get up this morning. Touched me to get up this morning. Watched over me all night long. Kept my house safe. Kept my family safe. It wasn't because I've done everything that I promised God. It's because God understands that He loves me enough, because I understand that, God, I need you now. And so He allowed me to get up. I got up a little tired, a little weary, but I got up. God got me up. Tossed and turned all night. I realized God was revealing to me when I first got up that He's blessing me. Why? Because when I got up, I was able to go and see my loved ones. I was able to go into my kitchen and see that I had something to eat in my refrigerator. I was able to look out the window of my house and see that I've got this old vehicle out there in the driveway. I realized if I just need to get to the house of the Lord, if I just get there, there's something about this place. Listen, when people come to God's house, they come from all walks of life. They don't look like us. They don't dress like us. But they make it here. When they come here, what they need to see is some believers, some people that have compassion in their heart, understanding that, no, I don't look like you. The reason why I said this morning, because I understand that sometimes we're in a world, in a society, where you're judged by all other things. But as a child of God, I am your brother in Christ. When I come here, I should find strength. I should find some people that believe in the power of prayer. I should find here people that believe that there's power in God's word. That God's word is just not another book that I put on my end table. It's not just another coast that I put a drink on. It's not something I put up on the lopsided table to keep it steady. The God's word has power. And so when you understand that, it says that I can find strength there. I find strength there because I also find the ears of the Lord there. You see in verse 8 it says, hear my prayer, give ear. God is listening to your prayer. There is power in prayer. I read a quote that says that prayer is a golden river at whose brink some die of thirst while others kneel and drink. I understand that there's power in prayer. I understand if I am going to make it, I've got to be able to talk to my Heavenly Father and tell Him I need your help. I'm going through some things. I understand that when I talk to God, I am not talking to God, a person that has limited power. You can come and talk to me, and the best thing I can do for you is pray. Okay. But my power beyond that from a physical standpoint is limited. But I can pray for you. When we start thinking about many times we put God in the same realm as we do a mortal man. Because some man has hurt you. Some man has let you down. We figure that God is going to do the same thing. I talked to my uncle the other day. I asked my uncle to help me out. He forgot and he hasn't done. Have you talked to God about it? No, God ain't going to do. God is not like us. God has unlimited power. Don't get to the river and die when all you have to do is kneel. What you also find is you find the presence of the Lord. You find the guidance of the Lord. It says in verse 11, for the Lord God is sun. I like the way that this psalmist wrote this in the beautiful case that he described the tabernacle in the, and as he described things in the valley and as he described the Lord. He says that the Lord God is a sun. That means that the Lord God keeps us warm. He gives us warmth when we're feeling cold, but also he is our shield. I get excited because when you're going through things, the world in trouble and trials have a way of making you feel like you are so alone. And when you're alone and you become fearful and you become scared and you become hungry, you start getting cold. But it's something about the sun. It's something about the way it explains it. It's something about understanding that the Lord will give us some warmth. That means that he will keep us warm. But not only will I keep you warm, but I will shield you. I will protect you. All you have to do is understand that I am walking through this thing. God is going to guide you. The Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered. I leave you with this. There are two angels traveling on the road. They came to this house of this rich couple. Outstanding house. Beautiful house. Big old house. House had four bedrooms, three baths. The angels came there explaining that they were traveling and they needed a place to stay. The couple there decided to put them in the barn. Put them in the barn. The one angel sat there. He looking at a hole in the wall and he went there and he patched the hole in the wall. The next day the angels got up, started traveling again. Had to go to this, came up to the house where this husband and wife were there. Didn't have but a one bedroom house. Had one old cow that was kind of helping them to survive. They gave their bedroom to the two angels to stay in. Got up the next morning, they found the husband there weeping. Crying, his husband and wife, crying because the only source of income that they had, that cow was, had died that night. Young angel looked at the older angel upset, telling him, why in the world did you do that? They gave us everything that they had, and then you allow the one source of income to die. Last night, we went to the couple house. They've got this big old beautiful mansion, and they shove us into the barn. And then on top of that, you see a hole in the wall, and you decide to patch the wall. What is wrong with you? The old experienced angel looked at the young and said, listen. In the first house of the rich couple that had us in the barn, I looked into the hole in the wall. I seen a pot of gold. I decided to patch the hole up so they couldn't get to the gold. We came here last night. The death angels came by here for his wife, but I gave them the cow instead. What are you saying, preacher? What I'm telling you is that every now and then you've got to trust God and what God is doing for you. Don't get caught off believing things are as bad as they seem. God is doing something in your life. And understand, in order for you to be blessed, in order for you to find prosperity, in order for you to find a reward, you've got to go through some tests. I've got to go through the valley. One of the greatest psalms that is ever written in the Bible, a psalm that we quote all the time in Psalms 23. The Bible says that the Lord is my shepherd. He is my shepherd. Paraphrase Psalms 23. It says that when you think about a shepherd is designed to provide me protection and guidance. You ever seen when you are a shepherd, they say a shepherd's hook is designed because it has the hook on top and in the bottom. And so when the shepherd's hook is designed to defend and protect the sheep. But if you flip it over, the hook was designed when a sheep got in trouble, too tired to go on. Too tired, the shepherd will use the hook to pick him up and carry him. Isn't that like God? God does that sometimes. God said, the Bible says that the Lord is my shepherd. So understand that no matter what happens, the Lord is going to protect me. But when I get too tired, I just need to lean on the Lord. And when I lean on the Lord, the old shepherd, so I think about that thing, it makes me get excited because it's telling me that although it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thy God is with me. Brothers and sisters, if I leave you with anything else, understand that the Lord is with you. Tonight, if we have anybody who has not decided to join, to get on the Lord's team, it's easy. It's simple steps. Simple steps. Nothing that God has designed is hard. The Bible is giving us the full instruction of what we need to do to be prosperous and to be happy. The key with that is we have to understand the application of it. That's the hard. I can quote y'all scripture all day, but it's the application that becomes the hard part. If you have been trying to do it on your own, and you keep thinking that I'm going to one day get baptized, I'm going to give my life over to Christ, we're not promised tomorrow. All we have is right now. The Bible says you have to hear the word, Mark 12 and 29, believe what you've heard. You have to repent, confess, and be baptized. And on the day of Pentecost, it says, what must I do to be saved? The Bible says you must repent and be baptized. I always leave congregation with the story. My grandmother, back in the day, used to have a washer out in the back of the house. And in this old washroom, she had this old washer, blue washer, white rollers. I still remember this to this day, although I never washed the clothes. But seeing my grandmother washing, she had that scrub board in that washing machine. And so every now and then she would have to get an old garment and she would have to scrub it on there and get that stain out. Every now and then God puts us through some things because we got some things that he's got to scrub out. And so when he scrubbed out, he puts us back in. You know how that goes? Go wash machine, throw you back and forth, because, okay, you're trying to do stuff on your own, you go back in and you're talking, but those hands come in again and pull you back out, and they scrub you a little longer. And then after that, they see, okay, the garment is looking like it's pretty clean, but what I've got to do then is to get that excess out. And so that old washing machine used to have those two little rollers, and it used to slide you through the two rollers and let you come out on the other side. I came by to tell you tonight that God's grace and mercy are the two rollers. And although life has got you in a washing machine, tossing you to and fro, God's hand is down and up pulling you out. He had to scrub you a little while. That's why he's telling you to go through the valley. But when you come up out of the valley, he puts you through the two rollers. Grace and mercy is going to allow us to come in. And if you've already been baptized and you've fallen short, you find yourself at a distance from the Lord, all you've got to do is repent and come on back home. We've got anybody in any one of those situations that you come right now while we stand and sing the song of invitation.